You're listening to Comedy Central.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
April 25th, 2018. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
My guest tonight, star of the NBC show Good Girls, Christina Hendricks is here, everybody! And as a bonus, we'll also be talking to the governor of Puerto Rico, Ricardo Rosario, everybody! But first, some breaking news from the sunken place.
Take a look at what's trending today on this Wednesday, and we're going to begin with Kanye West, who says he does not care about the backlash from fans. He stands behind his support of President Trump. In fact, West tweeted a picture of himself with Make America Great Again hat, and in his post he wrote, "You don't have to agree with Trump, but the mob can't make me not love him. We're both dragon energy." Just wrap your mind, let that soak in for a second.
I don't care how long I wait, that will never soak in. Like, I don't even know what happened here. I think Kanye West just realized he's too rich to not be Republican. I don't even know what it is. And you know that this is also gonna confuse people on Fox News, right? Because they're probably gonna be like, why don't these celebrity rap thugs stay out of politics and... Sorry, I mean, this guy understands the American people. He understands all of them. You know what's crazy is that Kanye is the same guy who said George Bush hates black people. That's what he said. He said George Bush doesn't care about black people. But he's the same guy who loves Trump. Like, when George Bush sees this on Twitter, he's gonna be like, what the f***? I know I was a bad president, but this guy's friends with Nazis! And look, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a fan of what's happening here. But I am glad it's happening before Kanye's new album drops. So this way, Trump can make it into the video for Bound 3. It's gonna be dope. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. But let's move on. A few weeks ago, Donald Trump announced his pick to run the Department of Veteran Affairs. And it's going great.
There are serious allegations surfacing tonight against the president's pick to lead the Veterans Affairs Department, which provides care and services for some 9 million veterans. Those allegations threatening to derail the nomination of Dr. Ronny Jackson.
Remember how Trump said he hires the best people? When does that start? No, because it seems like everyone he hires turns out to be a disaster. And it used to be that they would get fired after a few months. And then Scaramucci was gone after 11 days. And now this guy might get fired before he even starts the job. Like, at this rate, some dude is gonna open his laptop and be like, I just got fired from the White House. His friend will be like, I didn't know they offered you a job. He's like, yeah, neither did I. Oh, sweet, I just got offered a book deal. Dope. Now, you probably remember Ronny Jackson. He's the White House physician who came out in January and said that Trump has the strength of a hippo and the body to match. You remember that? Right. Well, he said that Trump was incredibly healthy, which shocked everybody. Like, even God was in the front row, like, the Well, anyway, we didn't know much about him back then. And we didn't need to. But once Trump nominated Jackson for a cabinet position, people started digging into his past like he was dating Taylor Swift.
We've got some breaking news on that story. We started with new and potentially damaging allegations against Ronny Jackson. The White House physician nominated to lead the Department of Veterans Affairs provided a large supply of Percocet, a prescription opioid, to a White House military office staff member. A nurse on his staff said Dr. Jackson had written himself prescriptions.
The word is that on overseas trips in particular, that Admiral would go down the aisleway of the airplane and say, all right, who wants to go to sleep, and hand out the prescription
drugs. So you're talking about something like an Ambien type?
Yeah, that's exactly right. He hands out prescriptions like candy. In fact, in the White House, they call him the candy man.
The White House physician was being fast and loose with prescription drugs, which is really dangerous. I mean, can you imagine if Ben Carson was on that plane and he took a sleeping pill? He'd be waking up like, did we land yet? What time is it? He'd be like, sir, it's the year 2045. Now look, to be fair, giving sleeping pills to staff on overseas flights is apparently kind of standard practice in many administrations. Plus, I mean, what would you rather do? Get some sleep or stay up and watch Trump lick KFC off his fingers for 14 hours? I think we know which one you choose. But distributing drugs like he was the Stringer Bell of Air Force One is just the beginning of Ronnie Jackson's story.
Sources telling CNN the White House doctor allegedly became intoxicated during multiple overseas trips on duty, including one in 2015, where sources say he banged on the hotel room door of a female employee in the middle of the night.
According to this memo, at a Secret Service going away party, Jackson got drunk and wrecked a government vehicle.
Okay, this is just shocking. No, I can't believe that between Trump's two doctors, Ronnie Jackson is the one who might have a drinking problem. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Alcohol could explain the glowing bill of health that he gave Trump a few months ago when he was like, Donald Trump is the healthiest man alive. He's 6'3", 160 pounds, and there's two of him standing in front of me. I love them both. I love you so much, man. And so with these allegations piling up, politicians of both parties are hoping that Trump will reconsider his pick.
What was being discussed last night here on CNN was truly concerning about the possibility that Dr. Jackson had been drunk on duty.
The allegations that have come out against Admiral Jackson are very disturbing.
Probably makes sense for the president to spend a little bit more time doing research on his own nominees.
It would give us serious cause for concern as to whether or not he'd be the right man for the job.
Man, these lawmakers are not messing around. Although it is funny how they don't want Jackson running Veterans Affairs, but they don't care if he stays on as the president's physician. It's like, this drunk maniac doesn't belong near our heroes. He belongs at the White House next to Donald Trump. Now, look, this may surprise you, but Trump doesn't seem to mind Ronnie Jackson's shady past. If anything, in Trump's eyes, Dr. Ronnie is the victim.
I said to Dr. Jackson, what do you need it for? So I don't want to put a man through a process like this. It's too ugly and too disgusting. And he has to listen to the abuse that he has to. I wouldn't, if I were him, actually, in many ways, I'd love to be him. But the fact is, I wouldn't do it.
What? In many ways, you'd love to be him? Like, I don't understand what that means. Is Trump saying he wishes he weren't the president? Or is it just like Trump wishing that he were his own doctor? It's just like, he's so lucky. He gets to see me naked all the time, folks. Do you know how nice it would be if I could see my dick? So beautiful. So beautiful. But believe it or not, the administration was still pushing Dr. Jackson's nomination forward. And Kellyanne Conway even brought up a surprise character witness.
The White House defiant and defending Ronnie Jackson's nomination to lead the VA, pointing to praise from former President Obama and pushing back on accusations against Jackson.
I hope you're aware of the great referral for Ronnie Jackson. Continue to groom and promote this highly capable officer, a, quote, exceptional physician and leader. Ronnie has been a dedicated and valued member of my team. This came from President Barack Obama, 2014, 2016.
Oh, now you want us to trust Obama? No, Kellyanne, no. Too late. That Kenyan invented ISIS. You can't have it both ways. Nuh-uh. Okay, fine, fine. Let's play Kellyanne's game. Yes, it's true. Obama praised Ronnie Jackson and suggested that he be promoted. But he never said Jackson should be promoted to run the VA. That's an enormous government bureaucracy with 360,000 employees. You can't take that one recommendation and move it to something else. That's like looking great in a bathrobe and someone makes you the new pope. That's not how it works. Because don't forget, even if he didn't drink, even if he didn't drive drunk, and even if he didn't overprescribe drugs, Ronnie Jackson would still be far from qualified to run the VA. And in a way, all those senators who oppose him are lucky that these drug and alcohol allegations are coming up. Because if there's one thing we know, it's that on its own, being completely unqualified for a position doesn't keep you out of Donald Trump's cabinet. If anything, it gets you in.
As far as experience is concerned, the Veterans Administration, which is approximately 13 million people, is so big, you could run the biggest hospital system in the world, and it's small time compared to the Veterans Administration. So nobody has the experience.
Donald Trump is like logic kryptonite. Because no one has this exact experience. So in his mind, it doesn't matter if we just hired a seasoned professional or a toaster oven. And look, I get that no one has run an organization as big as the VA, but you can still try giving it to someone with some relevant experience. Like at one point in time, no one had been to space. But NASA didn't go, hey, why don't we just send Jerry? Jerry's my dentist, fantastic guy. No, they sent astronauts who trained for it, who previously flew planes, who studied space, who worked countless hours making black ladies do math for them. And look, at the end of the day, we know where this is headed. The president will have to find a new VA nominee, and knowing Trump, he's not going to search for a qualified person. He's just going to pick another guy who says nice things about him. So I guess what I'm saying is, congratulations, VA Secretary Kanye West. We'll be right back.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't try distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Welcome back to the Day Show. My first guest tonight is the governor of Puerto Rico, which is struggling to rebuild after Hurricane Maria devastated the island 7 months ago. Please welcome Governor Ricardo Rosselló. Thank you. Governor, Puerto Rico's story is one that's touched the hearts of many. We've had people like Ricky Martin come on the show and talk about it, Lin-Manuel, talking to people, getting them to understand that there is an issue, there is a crisis. Could you help us understand why it feels like it's taken so long for the crisis to be fixed? What has gone wrong in Puerto Rico?
Well, first of all, thank you for keeping Puerto Rico in the hearts and minds of all Americans. I think this show has given a step forward so that, you know, once the cameras left the disaster, it sort of slows down. But really, it's been bureaucracy. Bureaucracy has been slowing down the process, even though there's some people doing a lot of good. We've been able to get some funding for Puerto Rico, but the process is slow. And as you know, we're heading to a hurricane season next month, so we really need to hurry up that process again.
When you say bureaucracy, do you mean bureaucracy within Puerto Rico, or do you mean bureaucracy that comes down from the United States?
Well, bureaucracy in Puerto Rico, we're dealing with it, right? We're eliminating it. We're cutting the red tape. But it's within the systems that have been placed in the United States. For example, some of these processes that take 10 to 14 days in any other state would take 117 days in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Reimbursements.
This is to get funding and working?
Yes, for the reimbursement for the permanent work. It still hasn't even started in Puerto Rico, the reimbursement for the permanent work. So all we're asking, and I know you've made a point of this, is to be treated equally as equal U.S. citizens. You know, we're proud U.S. citizens. And what we want... That's right. And there is goodwill, but we really need to tackle this this issue. So any support that we can get, it's important. And that's why we started a movement to organize Puerto Ricans. You know, we're 5.6 million strong in the United States.
Right.
And Puerto Ricans, because we live in a territory, in a colonial territory, we don't have the right to vote for the president or for congressmen or senators.
Right.
So we need to create sort of a proxy effort. And right now we're in Florida. That's one of the critical areas. But we're going to go to different states, making sure that we organize a structure such that, you know, if you're a friend to Puerto Rico and if you vote and help the policy that's in the best interest of Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans, we'll support you. But if you go against the people of Puerto Rico, then we'll vote you out.
Now, that brings up two questions for me. Firstly, I know that in Puerto Rico, it's always been a contentious issue whether or not Puerto Rico should become a state of the United States. You have been for statehood. Do you think that's in the best interests of Puerto Rico?
I certainly do. I think, you know, when you evaluate all of the alternatives, the first one is the current colonial status. We've seen the results.
Right.
It just hasn't worked. And as an American citizen, you have to wonder, do we really want a second-class citizenship to be part of the American ideal? Do we really want to be known for having the most populated colonial territory in the world? I think not. So the other alternatives are either independence and statehood. And I certainly feel that our people are very proud of their U.S. citizenship. More than 95% of the people support our U.S. citizenship. And it's in the best interest. And I think we have a lot of value to offer. You know, as we go through this disaster, and it's been a rough ride, you know, I see Puerto Rico as sort of a blank canvas to reinvent, to be innovative. You know, a lot of the things a lot of the ideas in education, in healthcare, in infrastructure that are being thrown around, we can implement those in Puerto Rico. So I sort of want to start making the pivot from the recovery to the rebuilding and to being very innovative and inviting all of you to come to Puerto Rico. You know, we're open for business. We're open to receive everybody. Right. The weather's much better than right here in New York, that's for sure. So we would be excited to have everybody that has something, some new idea, something to look for to come to Puerto Rico.
You have said that you are now going to be mobilizing Puerto Ricans in the U.S. and in the wake of the crisis in Puerto Rico, I know that there was an influx of Puerto Ricans into Florida, for instance. This may be something that now reshapes the midterms and even the presidential election. You've had some critics, the likes of Marco Rubio, who've said now's not the time for politics. Now's the time to focus on getting Puerto Rico ready for the next hurricane season. How do you respond to that criticism?
Well, the reason is that we've heard happy talk all our lives, right? And the hurricane was the perfect example. We had all of these congressmen, congresswomen, and senators come to Puerto Rico, stand in podiums, pledge their support, looking at the cameras and saying, we will help Puerto Rico through and throughout this crisis. And they've helped in some arenas, but the first piece of legislation that they had was the tax reform bill. Now, you might have your opinions if it's good in general or bad in general, but for Puerto Rico, it treats us as a foreign country. And thereby levies an additional base erosion tax on Puerto Rico, which makes it more expensive to do business in Puerto Rico. So as we're going through the worst natural disaster in the modern history of the United States, we are victims of a policy, and we talked about this, that essentially railroads Puerto Rico in this front. So my view is very simple, and my answer is very simple. These are political processes. In order for us to have some power and some accountability, we need to let all of the elected officials know that there will be Puerto Ricans and friends of Puerto Ricans in all over the United States. Long-term view is to organize them. Right now is to impact several states. And hopefully, if we get that done, then we can get some real result for Puerto Rico.
Right. Before I let you go, there was a report that came out in Politico, which was really frightening. It was about how the U.S. government wants to implement a pilot program with regards to funding. And so you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but if I understand the breakdown, it would basically allow Puerto Rico to skip the red tape. The U.S. government would give Puerto Rico the money that it needs. But with that, if any overruns were incurred, Puerto Rico would now be responsible. You would have to pay for any extra costs that you didn't anticipate. That seems like they're putting a gun to your head because they're saying you do it this way or you do it no way. Does it feel like you're in a position where you're in power, but not really? It's almost taxation without representation?
Well, it is taxation without representation. It is being a colonial territory. And I mean, it's not something modern. This has been going on for 500 years and 100 years in the United States. I mean, we really need to ask ourselves a question when we're talking about immigration reform and so forth, and when we're talking about the value of our citizenship, are we really happy with a nation having 3.5 million of its citizens not having the same rights? And it's very bizarre, too. I mean, if I move to the States, I gain all of those rights. If, Trevor, you move to Puerto Rico, you lose them. It really makes no sense. With regards to these policies, you know, it could work. It could be a very good program because it gets us out of the red tape now.
Right.
There needs to be a certain set of core principles. We've agreed upon executing those core principles. I ask everybody to give oversight and accountability over this process. And if we do get that, then we'll have resources to rebuild. And again, I see Puerto Rico as this blank canvas to start rebuilding, as a destination for what we're calling the human cloud, where, you know, many jobs in the future, as you know, are going to be geographic independent.
Right.
Come to Puerto Rico. We have a better quality. We can offer a better quality of life, and we can export those services elsewhere. We can be a connector of the Americas and start pushing through in areas, important areas to us, like education and healthcare, so that it's a great place to live. So even though it's been a rough go at it, and I can't believe it's been seven months since the hurricane. I was just remembering, as it was yesterday, when I had to go 2 days after the storm, there was a big flooding incident, and 2,000 people were in the rooftops. And as we were going, I went with the National Guard. We started picking up some of these folks. You know, some people started calling, and somebody sent a text message to pick up this girl that I had never seen, called Amarilis. So we were just going as it was raining and pouring in these amphibious automobiles. looking for all of these families that were at their rooftops. And finally, believe it or not, amongst those 2,000 families, we found her praying with three young daughters. Wow. And thankfully, we were able to impact that. But now it's been a long road ahead. And what I ask is for everybody to keep on, giving us their support. The people of Puerto Rico are very resilient, and will demonstrate with hard effort and with accountability that we will rebuild a stronger, better Puerto Rico.
Well, thank you for your time. I tell you this, we will make sure to keep supporting. We'll keep telling you how you can support Puerto Rico. We thank you for your time, and most importantly, Trump will keep throwing paper towels. Governor Ricardo Rosario, everybody. We'll be right back. Show. My next guest is an Emmy-nominated actor who stars in the NBC series Good Girls. Please welcome Christina Hendricks.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So many people are fans of yours from Mad Men. And
thank you.
And in many ways, your character on Mad Men was regarded as a feminist icon. She was someone who was breaking through in a world that was definitely not designed for her to break through. Some people have said that your new character is a feminist icon as well, a woman fighting for her own thing in the world. Would you agree with this?
I do. I think women are really responding sort of this empowerment feel that we have on the show, and these three women who have this beautiful friendship and camaraderie that I think people are really, really responding to.
Right. It's a different type of empowerment, though, because it's a story of three women. And if you haven't watched it, it's really funny. It's a story of three women who are great friends, and they're struggling, they're in debt, life is not going well, so they decide to become robbers. And they rob a store, which is a different type of empowerment. I mean, I'm all for it, but it was crazy.
Worst decision ever. Yeah.
Right.
Didn't really think it through.
Right. And what's really fun, though, is like it's the core of it is still the friendship in the story. Is that something that's become a dynamic in the actual taping of the show?
Oh, yeah. We're nuts for each other. I mean, we are texting each other all the time, all night long, Marco Polo's, all night long, slumber parties.
Right.
I'm crazy for them.
Let me ask you this. If you were to rob a store, what do you think you would be best at in real? Because I always do that with my friends. I go like, "You'll never be the getaway driver. You suck."
Oh.
I go like, "I would handle weapons. I would like, you know what? We're always trying to figure. Do you know what you would be best at?"
I would not be the getaway driver.
Oh, either.
No, I would probably be good at lies and distraction.
I like that it's
like
lies and distraction.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm
look
really
over there.
Good at both of those
look
things.
Over there, a donkey. I lied and distracted you.
Yeah, I think I would be good at like a decoy kind of situation.
Your character's really good at lying in the shows. That's like her mini superpower is that she lies and nobody knows that she's lying. That's one of those questions where I go like, is that something you brought from the real world, or is this a skill that you developed for the role?
It started out, I think, in the pilot, and we decided that it was funny that she could just sort of switch into this incredible line, because she's like a mom and a wife, and you wouldn't expect it. And so it just started getting written more and more and more into the script, because we were like, this is such a weird, like, why is she so good at this?
Right.
I'm waiting for the episode where it explains why she's so good at lying. I think it'll be fun.
Do people not trust you in real life, though? Because I won't lie, there's some characters, there's some characters I see on TV where I cannot forget who they are now, or I cannot forget that they do a certain thing. So do you have anyone who now just doesn't believe you when you say something to them?
Oh, I wonder, actually.
Like, does your husband...
like, wait a minute. For 10 years, I believed you, but now I'm not so sure.
There was no donkey.
I'm a very trustworthy type.
Right. let's talk a little bit about some of the stories in the show. I've really been impressed by how it is funny, it is heartfelt, it is a story about friends and family, but there are, stories that touch on what's happening in the real world. One of the storylines, for instance, is where your character helped a friend of hers who was being sexually harassed by her boss. And you taped this before the Me Too movement. You recorded this before, the movement really built up steam. Is it one of those stories where you look at it and go like, yeah, it was always happening, I wasn't surprised? Or were you genuinely surprised at how the story tied into what happened in the real world?
I mean, this was written and filmed far before that. You know, I mean, I was on Mad Men for years and years talking about these topics.
Right.
People, I think, are responding to it more right now because of what's happening. And I think that's fantastic that it's causing conversation and that it's a part of that conversation. But I'll tell you what, when you come around a corner and see someone you love in that situation, whether you're acting or real, or I mean, I went into protective mode so quickly and immediately. You really do have a very visceral reaction when you see something like that. And I'm very close to May, and I came around that corner and I was like, don't you dare, buddy.
I love that. Do you feel like that's maybe why you choose the roles that you do? Because it feels like all your characters have this strength about them as a woman. Is that something that draws you to the character? Or do you think maybe just women's roles are written better that just end up on your desk?
I mean, I don't choose roles because I think, oh, she's going to be a great role model or she's the strength. I mean, as an actress, you want to discover all sorts of things.
Right.
I just think that every woman has strength in her. And I think we have all sorts of things and we have vulnerability. And I just I find exploring and trying to find the strength in someone very interesting.
It's amazing. You do it well on screen.
Thank you.
I don't know if you lied to me through this whole interview, but I'll take it. Either way.
I am not even Christina Hendricks.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
The season finale of Good Girls airs Monday, April 30th at 10 p.m. on NBC. Christina Hendricks, everybody. Thank you so much.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.